This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Brava.
All right, so let's get into our subject today, and we are going to be thoroughly blessed. Now, I have to caution you, today's session is an introduction. We're going to basically just lay the foundation and cover some things. So we're not going to look at a whole lot of scripture necessarily. This is one of the few occasions as a teacher of God's word. This is one of the few occasions. I can probably count them in one hand, maybe even three fingers or less. How many times I've shared something without any scripture in it. I prefer to just teach from scripture more than just have lots to say. But today specifically, we're going to say a lot of things because we need to get the background of this topic, the subject. And I'm going to show you some awesome things. And they're going to blow your mind. They're going to make you question. They're going to make you wonder. I'm going to leave you hanging today for part two for next week. But I assure you, you're going to be thoroughly, thoroughly blessed. So, all right. Well, without further ado, let's have a look at the title of our series. And tonight we're starting with part one of a series titled A Christian Perspective on Aliens and UFOs. In other words, unidentified flying objects. Or you can say flying saucers, as they used to call them in the older days. And today we're looking at part one. This is part one, and we're subtitling part one, Credible Evidence and the Experts. And of course, there is definitely credible evidence, and there are experts who have something to say on the matter about it. So, are you ready for this wonderful, wonderful journey? All right, praise God. So, let's begin by saying a few things. First of all, when you look at scripture, when you look at the Bible, it doesn't specifically address directly the issue of aliens and UFOs. It doesn't tell you straight out like it does with other subjects and other things. And I'm guessing that the reason why God chose not to do that is because, honestly, I don't think it's really that important. Although, as the end time draws near, as the end time begins to close, we're actually going to see these manifestations. And so many people around the world, specifically the unbelievers and even believers, are going to be so dumbfounded by the manifestation of aliens, supposed aliens and UFOs. And I'll cover more on that as we go along. Now, when you look at scripture, so it doesn't specifically mention anything about them, but it does have clues. It does have enough information with regards to it so that you and I can arrive at a conclusion and an understanding about where they come from and what they are. So that's a good thing, and we're going to take a look at that, and I believe it's going to thoroughly, thoroughly bless you as we go through that. Now, the other thing too that I want to encourage you is not to be spooked by the subject or by the topic, okay? You know, or their apparent existence, all their capabilities. Remember one thing, God is greater. He is greater than anything and everything. He is the Almighty God. There is none higher, there is none greater. And so ultimately, regardless of what happens in our study, don't forget this one thing, God is greater. If anything, I think what this series is going to do, you know, between Wednesdays, I think it's going to spark your curiosity to go and check it out yourself, and you need to, praise God. Now, I also want to caution you about misinformation, disinformation, fake news, and of course, conspiracy theories. You know, these days in our society, whenever we see news, whenever we see something come up on social media, whenever we hear anything from anyone, we got to be so careful. It's almost like we've got to have those four filters in place before we actually accept something as truth or what it's supposed to be. There is so much misinformation, so much disinformation, So much fake news. And then, of course, now you have this conspiracy approach to life that some people have adapted. And it's just sad, you know. But anyway, so when it comes to the topic, the subject of aliens and UFOs, you're definitely going to deal with a lot of that. Now, I have to caution you, Dr. Google, and I don't mean medical doctor, but Dr. Google is very good at giving you information. But all he's going to do is he's going to give you information that he has on his system. So whatever people upload, whatever people have to say, so if it's fake news, if it's disinformation, he's going to show it to you and tell you, this is what I found on the subject. And you still need to fact check and be led by the Spirit, more importantly, so that, and of course the Scripture, to make sure that you know what you're going to choose to believe. And so I do want to caution you, when you get into your own research, when you get into your own digging, be careful what you choose to accept as fact, okay? Because there's a lot of stuff out there. There's, you know, with Photoshop, and now they have all this AI technology that can take someone's face and put it on a body and create a whole animation of a person without the person even knowing about it. It's actually scary. It's horrific. And so we've got to be real, real careful. And AI, even though it's a blessing, the authors of AI, artificial intelligence, they on record have said, this is going to be man's worst nightmare. And so we'll see. But anyway, we are praying and believing, and God does have us protected and covered anyway. Amen. Now, as far as aliens and UFOs go, even in Christendom, there are a number of opinions, many views, and there's a lot of falsified evidence where people try and tell you this proves it. And then so many things have been debunked. Like, for example, you know, people talk about those crop circles out there in open lands where there are farms, you know, where they are planting crops and that kind of thing. You know, when you have a helicopter fly over the field, they see all these perfectly designed crop circles and designs. And for example, it has been found that many people just take pieces of wood, planks, they tie ropes on it, put weight on it, or one sits on one and the other person pulls it. And so they flatten the harvest and end up making shapes out of it to try and make it look like, you know, it was an alien visitation. So there's a lot of stuff out there. Now, there are some genuine crop circles, and we'll talk about that in a little while. So again, you've got to be careful. But all that said, I have to tell you, there is credible evidence that cannot be denied. There is factual, credible evidence, more than enough. In actual fact, so much that you and I couldn't cover it in a lifetime. There is more, there is absolutely enough credible evidence to prove to us that aliens and UFOs have been seen, have been experienced. And so we're going to dig into some of that too, and I'm going to give you some facts as well to help us with that. Now, what do you need to do? You need to prayerfully trust God to lead you and guide you into truth. Remember, the Lord Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, He's the Spirit of truth, and He will lead you into all truth. So you and I need to trust God to lead us into all truth. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us and leading us into truth. Amen. But whatever it is, no fear, okay? There's no need to fear. Praise God. All right, so now, the other thing that I want to say and emphasize is that no matter what conclusion we come to, one thing is certain. Aliens and UFOs don't change God, they don't change who He is, and they don't change redemption in Jesus. So settle the matter right now. Whatever conclusion we come to, it doesn't change who God is, it doesn't change God, and it doesn't change my redemption in Jesus. So that's it. So this is just going to be extra stuff we're going to learn, and it's going to be good to minister to others and to be equipped ourselves. But regardless of the conclusion, I am redeemed and God is God, and that settles the matter. Amen. And so, and there is redemption in none other. So if some alien somewhere down the line in the future appears in some UFO and claims to be a God and says, there's no God, I'm God, here's the proof, and therefore he has my system of salvation or redemption, you and I both know, sorry, this is a deception. And, you know, you think things like that don't happen. Watch what's going to happen towards the end times. It has, it's actually in Scripture, and I'm going to show it to you. But anyway, not today, but in the series. Now, you may say, okay, Pastor Marco, let's get on with it. Give us some of this stuff. Well, first of all, in short, right ahead of time, right on first base, let me tell you what my conclusion is. This is a result of praying, asking God, studying Scripture, prayerfully seeking the Lord, watching over the years, probably hundreds, if not thousands, of documentaries, reading things, research papers. And I'm not saying that I've done it all, but I have done a whole bunch. Helena can tell you, and Gabby can even tell you. Before she was born, I was really on that mission. And so, one thing we need to understand, well, let me tell you what my conclusion is. Here's what I believe aliens and UFOs are. Now, it's fine to say that, and it's fine to tell someone who asks you, you know, when you're talking about your faith and being a Christian, and they say, well, what about aliens and UFOs? It's okay to give them a straight answer like this, but you have to be able to substantiate it. It's not good enough just putting one blanket over it and moving on, because people wonder. I was a believer, I was tongue-talking, but I always wondered, you know, okay, you're saying it's this, but I want more. And so we need to know more. So what is my conclusion? Personally, I believe that aliens, UFOs, are nothing more than the disembodied evil spirits of the Nephilim and possibly the pre-Adamic creation, those disembodied evil spirits. That's all they are. And I believe I'm going to prove that to you in the series and empower and equip you to show you that. Okay, so I'm telling you right there, right in the beginning, that's what my conclusion is, that's what I believe they are. But now through the series, I'm going to prove to you factually, not just with Scripture, but also with science, with mathematics, with algebra, and who knows what else. I'm going to put the case out to you so that you can decide and have peace about it yourself, okay? So, let's talk a little bit about the credible evidence that exists, that is out there, that is genuinely credible evidence. Now, for a start, sightings and even experiences to some degree of aliens and UFOs have been recorded throughout history. For example, there are the Stone Age murals, which clearly indicate that there were other beings, you know, years and years, thousands of years back, in what we call the Stone Age. Already then, people experience these beings and UFOs. And I'm going to show it to you in a moment. Then there are the Egyptian hieroglyphics. You know, the ones that are by the pyramids in Egypt. When you look at those hieroglyphics, in other words, their style of writing, their language of writing, their writing method, if you will, you can actually see that they were familiar with UFOs and with aliens. And I'm going to show you that as well. Then there's Alexander the Great. I mean, he was a great conqueror. He was conquering, you know, nations all over the world. And in his journals, they've actually found evidence and proof that he himself had experienced alien sightings and he had experienced UFOs. And then there's Christopher Columbus, the great explorer, the great discoverer. He actually has on his ship's log, you know, every captain keeps logs. On one of his logs, they actually find where he describes having a UFO alien experience in the middle of the ocean, middle of the sea. Not the ocean, the sea. So, not under the sea, but on top of the sea. But anyway, so he describes it too. So let me show you some of these historical facts. So we're talking about credible evidence. Here's some credible evidence. Okay, first of all, let's begin with the Stone Age murals. Now, there we have one example of these Stone Age murals. Okay. This is actually was, I guess, carved. I'm not exactly sure how they did it, but it's been preserved and it's been there all these thousands of years. And so there you have basically a drawing, a depiction by Stone Age people, where they actually draw. I mean, if you look at themselves, it's the little person in the middle between the two on the, I think it's the right hand, it would be your right hand. You can see that's a human. The others are strange creatures with strange heads. And you know, you may blow this off and say, well, you know, they could have been wearing hats or something like that. Well, it's debatable. Not anyone has been able to prove that. So this is one example that we see right there. And then here's another example of another Stone Age mural. And when you look at this over here, although it's faded and, you know, through time, it's not as clear, you can actually see that it looks like he has a group of alien beings, strange looking creatures, most of them a lot bigger than the people around them. And there they are worshiping the creatures, and those creatures are doing things. I guess they're performing mighty signs or something. Now, remember in our series on demons, we spoke about the Nephilim and how big they really were and how they were empowered with supernatural powers and how they could do and perform things that no one else could. And they actually could, you know, float in the sky because they were hybrids, remember? They were hybrids between humans and angels who had fallen because they mated with women. And so these were beings that were extraordinary. And so that's why I say they are Nephilim. But nonetheless, so there's the Stone Age murals, and there you've seen two examples. Now, let me show you the Egyptian hieroglyphics. And remember, we're talking about credible evidence. So that's one of the credible evidences that we see right there. I mean, how do you argue with those murals? There was no conspiracy. There was no fancy technology. Well, there was technology, but you'll see. Anyway, I don't want to run ahead of myself. All right, so let's have a look at the Egyptian hieroglyphics. He has a close picture taken of Egyptian hieroglyphics from one of the walls where they found them. Now, look at it real carefully. Unfortunately, I don't have a pointer that I can, you know, point and click and show you. But have a look at it real carefully. Look at the middle on top. You see there's a line that goes across. Below that, you see the pictures. Doesn't that middle one look somewhat like a helicopter of sorts? And then the one in front of it looks like some kind of a submarine or some kind of a spaceship. And then the one below that looks like a rocket ship. It looks like some kind of a UFO. Now you tell me, all those thousands of years ago, how would the Egyptians have seen those things and known about those things unless they had experiences with aliens and UFOs? So this is credible evidence that we see. Now, here's another one, also from Egypt. And what you see here, what I want to highlight to you on this one, is those beings that are being worshipped, those beings that are standing back to back, notice how their heads are shaped differently. Now, you know, some people will say, well, those are hats or headwear that they had. No, it's actually been proven, and skulls have been found of beings that were a lot larger than human beings who had these very strange shaped heads and were definitely distinctly different. And so here they are again. And of course, there's a whole myth and all kinds of things that go with that. But nonetheless, so they are the Egyptian hieroglyphics. Now, remember earlier, I spoke to you about Alexander the Great. Now, this man, when he was on one of his conquests in India, he was entering battle with one of the Indian armies in India. And what happened was is that during this account, and he actually recorded, they actually have those recordings, where, and so what I'm going to show you is going to be a artist impression of what he recorded, because they didn't have cameras. They couldn't take photos, obviously. They couldn't do selfies, you know. But this is a depiction. Now, what the story, or how the story goes, is that Alexander the Great was about to attack this army, and all of a sudden, these silver lining beings appeared amongst them, between both armies, and they began to, they carried apparently some kind of current, some kind of power, that they began to confuse both armies, and the horses of both armies just went totally berserk and started stampeding anything in their way. And so that kind of caused Alexander the Great to back off, and he changed his mind about his conquest in India. Now, so let me show you that. And again, this is credible evidence that goes way back in history. So there it is right there. You'll see on the left hand, you see Alexander the Great on his horse. And then, of course, the Indian army is on his right, and part of his army is there with him. Now, look at those blotches that you see, those kind of beige-looking blotches all over the place. That's what he described, those silver linings that were there amongst them that caused this stampede and chaos and, of course, caused him to back off from what he was doing. So this is way back in Alexander the Great's time. So there is more credible evidence that also, you know, we cannot ignore. We cannot just say, well, no, you know, there's more to it than this. And then I spoke about Christopher Columbus, the great explorer. Let me show you. Here is again, a depiction, a painting, a picture. And it didn't necessarily look that way, of course, but there's Christopher Columbus on the top left. And this is one of his ships, on his ship. And what he describes in his ship's log, this is that many a night he would see these bright illuminated objects, and he described them like a ball or like a saucer that would come out from the sea, from the ocean, come up above the surface and would float around his ship for a while and check them out and then disappear either off into the sky into space or back into the sea. Now, this is all recorded evidence. It is all there. And so when you think about that, you have to admit there is credible evidence. You know, move aside all this, with all the technology we have, how anything can be faked. Move all that aside. In those days, they didn't have that. And these guys had no reason to fake any of this stuff. And so there is credible evidence. And it's like I say to you, ultimately it is Nephilim, and I'm going to strive to prove that to you. But nonetheless, so there it is. Now, moving forward a little bit in time, let me show you some evidence that we have in our recent time, even though it's a while back now already. In 1997, there was a March 13, 1997, there was what they call the Phoenix Lights. In Phoenix, Arizona, what happened that night was that basically the entire state of Phoenix, and specifically the city, in Arizona, the city Phoenix, saw this come through that whole area. It was a humongous, what seemed to be a triangular shape object that hovered not too far from the surface. It had lights, and it hovered through the city, past the city, at about 30 miles an hour or so. It was one phenomenal experience. Apparently, it was on the news. In actual fact, the news media took a few days to actually publish it and make it known. And to this day, people wonder, you know, why do they do that? Now, so what I'm going to show you now is I'm going to show you some slides, first of all, of that situation. And then I'm going to show you a video. So here are the slides, firstly. Now, I don't know if you can see it. I hope you can. It's not all that clear. None of it is clear because remember, 1997, we're talking about VCRs and, you know, camcorders with tape. So none of this fancy technology that we have now was available. But nonetheless, there is a picture taken, and you can see that that looks more or less kind of like a type of a strip mall, like a corner store. And above that, you can see those lights that seem to be in a bit of a boomerang or triangular type of shape. Those are what are known as the Phoenix Lights. This was one humongous structure. It wasn't anything small. It was big. It was huge. And as I said, it went through shamelessly past the city at a very slow speed. And everyone, thousands of people witnessed it. Thousands of people saw it. Here's another picture of the news, one of the newspaper clippings. And that's what it looked like as the sun started coming up, and obviously someone caught a photo of that. That's what it looked like. Now, they look small, but it was a humongous thing. And you're going to see that on the video in a moment. And so there it is there. You can see that for 106 minutes on March the 13th, people saw something like a VSAP object flying over Arizona. And so they wonder, you know, what was it? Now, get ready for the video. There's no audio on the video. It's a VHS tape, so it's not the greatest quality, but that's what they had at the time, and someone obviously recorded this. But so I'm going to try and explain to you what you see as we go, okay? Now, there it is right there. The camera is zooming in and starting to see the lights there. Can you see it? Now, you'll see that below that is the city lights. And if you look at those city lights and look at those lights, you can see how big this thing was. It was huge. And so there it is there, coming closer and clearer, and you can see those lights coming over the city right there. And it went through the whole of Arizona. So there it is right there. You can see it coming by. As I said, it's not the clearest of videos, but at least it gives us an idea. Okay, so there it is. So the Phoenix flyby, or the Phoenix lights as they call them. Again, credible evidence. They tried to trace it and see if it was some other government or some other agency, or first of all, no one at the time, and I don't think even today, can actually manufacture such a huge craft to fly that speed and of that weight like it did. So again, we're talking about credible evidence. Now you may say, Pastor Marco, how can Nephilim do that? They're very capable. They can do a lot more than we probably are willing to give them credit for. And I don't want to run ahead of myself, but I will explain that to you how they do that probably next week. So, all right. Now, we're talking about credible evidence. Of course, we cannot speak about aliens and UFOs without speaking about Roswell. And the Roswell UFO crash, as it is known, happened on July the 6th, 1947. I wasn't even born. So that's when it happened. Now, when this crash happened, they said that it was an alien spaceship, a saucer, flying saucer. There were four occupants in this craft. Three of them were dead. Two of them were dead and one was alive. There were three occupants. Two dead, one alive. We don't know what happened to them. It's classified. Our government to this day will not say a thing. And what happened, for those of you who are familiar with this, as you know, we were told that this was just a weather balloon that just crashed and fell, and that's all it was. There was nothing more to it. But of course, there was a lot of secrecy. There was a lot of army there, and there was a lot of people that lived in the surrounding area that say, no, this was more than just a weather balloon. And so what happened is that they had, of course, a number of press conferences. And in one of these press conferences, one of the generals, General Ramey, he was there with his weather balloon, trying to convince the American people and the rest of the world that it was a weather balloon. But he was holding a memorandum or a letter, which was obviously an official document. And in those times, you wouldn't think anything of it because the cameras didn't have high resolution. And so he figured, you know, they can take a picture of this. It's going to be black and white. No one's going to see what's in my hand. He probably didn't give it a second thought. Well, little did they realize that, you know, in our modern day, we can take something like that, we can zoom in, we can flip it over, and we can use technology to try and see what the words were on that document. And so two key phrases were clearly depicted from their document, which tell you that we weren't being told the truth, that it was actually an alien craft and more than that. So let me show you this now, the Roswell slides. So there we go. I think they call this Area 51, or this is now in Roswell where it happened. That's one of the older photos of that time. And so here is General Ramey on the left, and you can see there's a red circle around the document that he's holding, and the other officer, the other person, is holding the weather balloon, you know, that they're trying to pass off as what actually crashed and what happened. And so this letter, this document, years later, only recently, will we be able to, see if we can decipher and figure out what was on it. And so he has a close-up of that document that is flipped over. And you can see, with good enough technology, good enough figuring out, you can actually begin to figure out some of the text on that sheet, on that memorandum. And so someone did that, and here's what they found. Two specific phrases that were clearly identified. Here they are. The one said, and the victims of the wreck. So there's proof that there were beings there. And then the second phrase is, in the disk they will ship. That proves that it's a UFO. Now, you know, you can debate that, and it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, God is God, and we have redemption in Jesus. But I'm just showing it to you. This is now regarded as credible evidence. And so there is credible evidence. I mean, we can't ignore it. We can't just say, you know, it's people who are just conspiracy theorists or people who have a wild imagination. No, there's ancient historic proof. There's also current, and there's still proof today. In actual fact, there's so much evidence and so many reported sightings that, like I said to you, we couldn't live a lifetime to go through it all. It is so, so much. Now, talking about credible evidence, another one which is definitely carries a lot of weight are the testimonies of astronauts. You know, these are the people who are trained to go and fly into outer space and have gone all these space missions and discover the world beyond our world for us. And so I'm going to just, I don't have any slides on this, but I'm going to just give you that information. And I don't have them all. There's a whole bunch. I just have a few, okay? So for example, in 1962, there was an astronaut by the name of Walter Schirra. He officially noted seeing aliens and UFOs. Gordon Cooper in May 1963, same thing. These are all astronauts, okay? I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And then in Project Gemini, which obviously was launched into space, Ed White and James McDivitt in June 1965, they both said that they saw UFOs, a UFO with arms sticking out of it. And they actually recorded it, but the footage was never revealed, and to this day we have not seen that. But they did say that they did record it. Then also to do with Project Gemini, then there's James Lovell and Frank Borman, both astronauts as well, in 1965. They both said that they saw a UFO on one of their missions. Neil Armstrong, you know, this is one small step for mankind. Oh no, one small step for man and one huge step for mankind. Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, who was also known as Buzz, they part of the mission of Apollo 11 in 1969, they both said that they saw lights in or on a crater on the moon, and that there were other spacecraft there, and that there was a two large objects watching them while they were walking, doing their moonwalk. And so there's documentation where they've actually, these two men have actually emphatically said that that was their experience and that's what they saw. Now I know that much of this is hidden from us, and at the end of the day, I can only guess that, you know, these demonic forces don't want us to know, because then they're exposed and we can take authority. We can take authority over them now. And so anyway, then there's also John Blaha, or Blaha. He was part of he was the commander of the Discovery Space Shuttle in 1989. And what happened was is that there was an amateur radio person who was listening with his amateur radio. He was listening to the transmission between John Blaha in the shuttle and Houston, and he clearly recorded and heard John Blaha say this to Mission Control Houston. He said this: "We still have the alien spacecraft under observation." He specifically made that statement, and if you Google it, you'll probably find the recording and hear it. And so there it is right there, 1989. And then in the Apollo 14 mission, Ed Mitchell, the astronaut, in April 1996, he reported and said that NASA is covering up Roswell. He says they are not telling the public and the American people the truth. Now, are they trying to cause strife and division? No. They just want us to know the truth. And so Then also, beyond the astronaut testimonies, and I've given you a few, there's more. There is also, talking about credible evidence, there is also the what is known as the Rendlesham Forest incident. This is in the United Kingdom, in England. This is known as Britain's Roswell, okay? And this happened in 1980. And it was something that shook the UK, but also shook the world. Now, what I'm going to show you here is I'm going to show you a slide of it, or a newspaper clipping, I think it is. And then I'm going to show you a short video clip, which is a reenactment, a recreation of that event. But it's to give you the idea of what happened, so that I don't have to try and explain it to you. You can see it for yourself, okay? Courtesy of one of our known channels. All right, so here's the Rendlesham Forest slide. This is the newspaper clipping, one of the newspapers that came out the following day, where it says UFO lands in Suffolk. Suffolk, I guess, is like the state or the region, the county, and Rendlesham is the city, the place. And there was an army installation there, but you'll see. All right, so stand by and watch this video, okay?
December 26th, 1980, 3 a.m. Security personnel at Bentwaters Air Force Base in the UK spot strange lights among the trees bordering Rendlesham Forest. Their first thought is that a light aircraft might have crashed. Members of the base security police, Airman John Burroughs and Sergeant Jim Peniston, approach the area. They experience trouble with their radios and note an extreme amount of static electricity in the area. As they get closer to the lights, they realize it's not a crash. It's an aircraft, but unlike any they've ever seen.
They obtained permission to go out and investigate and encountered not a crashed aircraft, but a landed UFO.
They later report that the craft is triangular in shape, about 9 meters in diameter and 8 meters high. They can't tell if it has landed or is hovering very close to the ground. Peniston writes down some brief descriptions and makes sketches of the craft in his police notebook.
The personnel approached, and indeed, one of them got close enough to touch the side of this thing. There were strange symbols on the hull which looked somewhat like Egyptian hieroglyphs.
Burroughs and Peniston report that the UFO then begins to move, rising up slowly.
When it had cleared the canopy, shot away off to the horizon at speed. Jim Peniston again wrote in his police notebook, speed impossible.
They report something else strange. The men discover that they have been gone far longer than they thought. What seemed like a few minutes was in reality over 2 hours. And their watches, originally synchronized to precisely the same hour and minute, are now 45 minutes apart. Nothing in their training prepares them for this experience.
All right, how's that? Now that's a recreation. There's a few of them out there, but wow. Can you imagine what those young men must have experienced? And this is all recorded, it's all stated, it's all factual. And like Roswell, the British government is obviously trying to, you know, cover and not release information and all that. The usual story. And so there's another portion of credible evidence that we cannot deny. Now, besides that, there are thousands and thousands of UFO sightings recorded. And it's interesting how between 3 to 5% of Americans alone claim that they have been abducted by aliens at some point. And it's interesting how they always, always associate being abducted by aliens with them messing with their reproductive system and looking into that. Now, you know, that alone should be a clue for us to let us know. Remember what they did in the time of Noah? They basically mated with humans to create a hybrid race, which is all these beings and all their technology and all their capabilities. And let me tell you something, they are still on that mission. They are still trying to do the same. And I will dare say this, and I will prove it to you later during the series. They're going to do something similar. Remember what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be before he returns. He was including that. And so we're going to see some very weird things happening. Now, anyway, then part of credible evidence, there are many radar recordings that actually have picked up these UFOs, these flying objects. They have been picked up on radar many a time. So again, it's all part of credible evidence. And then another one, which is more recent, this happened around 2014, 2015. There were a number of sightings, but this one was specifically recorded. U.S. fighter pilots that were out on mission, that, you know, it had reported that there was something in the sky that couldn't be identified. And so they flew over to see, and one of the aircraft, through their cameras and technology that we have now, was able to actually follow some of these and record it. This was on the news not so long ago. It's still a big story to some degree. And so there's again more. So let me show you that video clip of these fighter pilots and their equipment recording these UFOs. And listen to what they say, okay? So here's again, more credible evidence. Now at this point, you're probably thinking, Pastor Marco, are you trying to convince us that there are aliens and UFOs? No. I just want to make sure we cover all this so that we understand later what we're going to discuss and reveal through the God's Word. Amen. But here it is. I'm sure you find that interesting anyway. So here it is. Watch us and listen.
It's the video that's making even skeptics do a double take. The video was shot by U.S. fighter pilots on a training mission off the coast of Jacksonville, Florida. Pilots reported seeing mysterious objects that could reach hypersonic speeds, five times the speed of sound, and still turn on a dime.
There's a whole fleet of them. Oh my God.
All right, that was a short clip, and that's basically what it is. So there it is. There's more evidence. I mean, these pilots couldn't possibly recreate this. And you can tell that they themselves are in shock. And of course, there are many other recordings of pilots of commercial planes and all that have had similar experiences. And so we're talking about credible evidence. So these things are real. They're there. But what are they? Where do they come from? And I gave you the snapshot that they're Nephilim, and I'm going to show that to you. Now, besides that, that evidence that you've seen, all the credible evidence going all the way back in history, there are also tangible traces left behind. Wherever you see an account, a credible account, where they say that a UFO landed or there was some kind of interaction, scientists have gone there, biologists have gone there, they've taken evidence, they've analyzed it through microscopes and whatever other technology they have, and they've actually come to the conclusion that many of these sightings had radiation left behind. A lot of them describe it as molten particles of iron on the leaves of the plantation, the green that grew there. There was altered foliage, and there are, you know, many photographs, for example, of crop circles. They're not all hoaxes. And so what I'm saying to you is, part of this credible evidence, there are traces that have been found. To this day, some of the stuff, we don't even know what it is because it just seems so foreign. And so, you know, you wonder, well, how do these Nephilim do that? How are they able to do all that? We'll speak about that, but not today. Let me show you some of these crop circle formations. Now, this is obviously from an aerial view, so it's high up in the sky looking down at a huge piece of land. And these things have been found. Now, these are not hoaxes, okay? So there's one of them. You know, I mean, look how big that field is, and you can see that formation right there. What kind of technology, what kind of ability must you have to do that? And there's another one right there, which is even bigger. I mean, look at the precision. Look at the just the quality of the artwork, I guess you could say, for the lack of a better word. It is just phenomenal. It is mind-blowing. So, nonetheless, there it is. Now, the question then arises, what do the experts say? So we have all this credible evidence. What do the experts say? Now, let me qualify that real quick. When I say experts, I'm not talking about conspiracy theorists. I'm not talking about even what they call them as ancient astronauts, astronaut theorists. And with all due respect, okay, I'm not knocking people down, but I'm just telling you, I'm not talking about those kind of experts. I'm not talking about experts who have read lots of books about aliens and UFOs and they have a lot of knowledge and boom, there it is, they're an expert. No, I'm not talking about that. When I say experts, I'm talking about people who are highly educated, highly qualified, and have approached it from a neutral point of view. Many are Christian, yes, some are not. But these are people who are actually beyond that group of you know, picking a side or so forth. These are genuine, genuine, credible people. And so there are experts. Now, let me tell you what they say. First of all, they doubt that these are aliens, that these aliens and UFOs, first of all, are from other planets. When interviewed, when asked, papers that they've written, they say they have serious doubts whether these aliens and UFOs are truly from other planets. They don't believe that they are. What they do say is that they like to pose as though they were from other planets. And the reason for that is because they don't want to be exposed and they want to fool humanity to deceive them and ultimately try and control them and run the affairs on the earth, which is typical. That's exactly what the Nephilim wanted to do in Noah's time, and to a great degree they did. And so get our series on demons, and we discussed that a little bit more there. Now, what these experts also say is, for example, here's one fact that they mention, and that is that the nearest star system to Earth, in other words, you know, like the Earth with the sun and the moon and all the planets, that's a star system. The nearest one to us, which may be like it, in other words, that can sustain life like it sustains us here on Earth, the nearest star system is known as the Alpha Centauri. Now, the Alpha Centauri is 4.5 light years away from the Earth. Let me give an idea of how long it would take us to get there. If you traveled at 1,000,000 miles per day, imagine that. Our mind has sometimes a hard time computing that. But if we could travel 1,000,000 miles a day, it would take us 70,000 years to get there. None of us would make it. So it's crazy. And so what these experts say is that if they happen to be from Alpha Centauri, which is the closest known star system where there could be living beings, and there's no proof that they are, they say that if they are from there, then why won't they make themselves known? If they've traveled so far and it's taken them so long, why won't they make themselves known? And where do they go in the meantime? I mean, if it takes that long to get back, now I know people that will argue and theorists will say, well, you know, there's, you can fold time and they have, you know, black holes and that kind of thing. Experts will tell you that a lot of those things are literally just theories. And so their argument is that if this is the case, if they happen to be from what we know, from where we know, and it takes them so long to get here, you know, first of all, surely they would make more of an effort than just have appearances and where things happen. And also, where do they go in the meantime? How are they surviving? Where are they sustaining themselves? And so that's part of the argument as far as what experts say. Now, also, remember that we as humans have sent spacecraft in our existence to almost every known planet. whether it's a satellite, whether it's a tracker or something that orbits that planet. We have sent spacecraft to almost every planet that we know that we've discovered in our solar system. And guess what? There is absolutely no evidence of extraterrestrial life in any of them. And we've also been exploring Mars for a number of years now. We actually have some newer, better technology there, and we're sending some more over there. But so far, with all that we've done, all our efforts in Mars, there is still no evidence that there was life on the planet and that life can be sustained there like it is on Earth. And so also we have astronomers who are constantly finding new planets, and the result is always the same. There are no other life forms. And so this is part of what the evidence that the experts put forth, and they say, you know, even though we have the credible evidence, it makes no sense for us to think that they are extraterrestrial beings, that they are from some other planet. Meaning that it points back to what we know about creation and what happened on Earth. And this is why I say to you, and I'm going to show it to you from next time, that I personally believe that these are the Nephilim and possibly the pre-Adamic disembodied spirits who, again, are trying to rise up and relive what they lived at one time, because they are doomed. They have nothing else to do. They've got nowhere else to go. And so what a better thing than to destroy the humanity that God has on earth now. And so so that's what the experts say. So then you may say, okay, well then how do we make sense of this, especially in the light of Scripture and what God reveals to mankind about Himself and creation? How are we going to make sense of this with Scripture, Pastor Marco? That's a very good question, and you'll have to tune in next week for part two and beyond for me to show that to you. But we are going to make sense of it as best as we can. Now, let me end off with one portion of Scripture, which is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. We're all familiar with this one, the very beginning of Scripture. From the Amplified Translation, it says, "In the beginning, God," that's Elohim, the triune God, "created by forming from nothing," watch this, "the heavens and the earth." If you study that word heavens, it is also inclusive of galaxies, of outer space, and all of that. So ultimately, our God created it all. We still have much to discover. To us, it seems endless. But to our God, you know, it says that He can weigh the seas in the palm of His hand. And so our God created it all, and surely you have to understand, if He loves you personally and He has a personal relationship with you and He's given you His word, then surely it is no concern for Him, and therefore it should not be a concern for you and I. The only reason why we want to be empowered and equipped is so that we can enjoy more the victory that we have in Jesus and exercise the authority that we have in Jesus. Amen. But our God created it all. Praise God. So don't forget to tune into part two next Wednesday as we continue.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.